Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
This morning is a commissioning day. We will be dealing with the practicality of shining as light. The practicality. We don't want just to end with words. We want to rise from here and shine. And the passage that our brother started to deal with, Isaiah 60, is our passage for today. That's the passage that God had appointed for us today. And all we are going to be doing is we are going to be looking into it. We are going to be taking instructions from it. We are going to be understanding what to go and do. And you know, whenever God sends a word to any man, as far as God is concerned, the word is as good as done. Hallelujah. But if it does not become a clear manifestation in the life of that person, the fault is not with the word of God. The fault is not with God who spoke. The deficiency can only be located in the lack of faith or the spirit of unbelief that will not allow a man to step into what God is saying to him. So this morning or this afternoon, we will take a bit of time just looking at practicality of shining. And when we'll be coming in the night for the final charge, we will be trusting God that whatever He needs to do to switch on and to set us ablaze and to cast us wheresoever He desires, that will be His own hand. And we will be particularly trusting that we can pray and commission several of us into different zones, different areas of endeavor where light has to shine. Are you hearing me? We are going to be believing God that what the Holy Spirit had been dealing with, let there be light. That in every corner, in every area, in every profession, in every segment of society, someone among us here will stand up and say, God, give me that territory. I'm going to shine there. I'm going to chase darkness out of that place. I'm going to trust you to see that darkness does not rule in that segment of our community, of our profession, of our ministry, of our office anymore. Is God able to do that? He is. Why we will return to Isaiah 60? We will create a link between Isaiah 60 and the passages we stopped with yesterday night. And I'd like you to return to some of the passages we stopped with. We stopped with Matthew chapter 5, you will notice that we deliberately stopped in verse 15. We said verse 16 is for today. So I want you now to go back to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Are you there already? Matthew 5. You are going to read verse 14, 15, and 16 again. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Keep that, and then we'll go further. Let's try to look at Matthew chapter 6. Are you there? Matthew 6. You're going to look at verse 22 and 23. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Follow me furthermore to the book of Luke, chapter 11. Luke 11. Verse 33. Very quickly to verse 36. No man, when he has lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is single, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you be not darkness. If your whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle does give you light. Let's stop there. May God bless his word to our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. All of this, I said, they will become a link unto the Isaiah 60, which God has already announced to us as the passage of our day. Can I take one step backward from where we stopped yesterday night and from where our brother stopped just now, just one step backward in order to take a leap so that we can press on. And I want you to wait in Luke 11. What amazed me was that Luke 11 was combining Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 6 as a single discussion. Have you noticed that? Eh? And that is very interesting. That's very interesting. Very interesting in the sense that different people that God had given grace to report the gospel, they have reported it from various angles that have added very great riches unto the word of God. So the word of God is not a repetition at all. Every angle is adding something. Whereas Matthew ended the matter of you are the light of the world, ended it with the challenge that therefore let your light do what? So shine that men may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Brother Luke, being a doctor, he was becoming diagnostic. And he wanted to deal with what could make your light not to shine. And what do you do to make sure that your light can so shine? You know, when Matthew chapter 5 verse 16 said, let your light so shine. I don't know whether you understand that the word so shine. You know what it means? What does it mean? Let your light shine brightly, let your light shine fully, let your light shine powerfully, so shine that everybody will see your good works. I will be coming to deal with that because today is the practicality of shining. And permit me, I'm going to be as practical as the Holy Spirit will give me utterance. You know, yesterday when we came on and the Bible began to say, you are the salt of the earth. You remember I said to you that salt is not useful where? Inside the sachet. You don't taste salt as salt. You don't eat salt. Salt is only to be eaten in the context of a soup. We said salt only works wherever it has made contact. Am I correct? And we did say that for salt to engage the corruption on the earth, salt had to be what? In contact with it. Not isolated. Not insulated. And a situation where the Christians that are supposed to be salt are gradually and almost steadily thinking that ministry of the Christian is inside the church wall. We are beginning to make a nonsense of the reason for our existence. If I have seen a pit latrine in the legal profession and I want to deal with the rottenness and I need to cast salt, will salt stand here on the pulpit and be shouting and say, all of you that are in legal profession, the corruption in your midst has to change. Is that how salt will deal with it? What will salt do? Salt will get into that place and it will be in contact. It will be mixed. And as they are mixing salt inside, something is happening. So I will be asking some of you that actually wanted to become ministers of the word of God, but you are lawyers. I will be stopping you from resigning. Because we will not need you so much here. We already have too many people struggling on the pulpit. I'm sorry. I'm causing confusion today. Some of you have always thought that this is the ministry. Some of you have always believed that this is where the ministry is. No, this is not. If I tell you what this is, you will just relax. This is just a mobilizing point. But the ministry is where? It's out there. So I will be needing lawyers who are going to bend their head. Are you hearing me? And they are going to insist that I'm not going to be under the bushel. I'm going to be where? On the candlestick in the lampstand. That's what I'm going to be dealing with. I'm dealing with practicality this morning. I will be needing several of you who are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, whose desire is never to stop anywhere until you reach the apex court. Are we together? So that when they are deciding issues that determine the destiny of Nigeria, there will be an Ushai in the court of Absalom, deliberately posted to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. What you don't know is that the Ahithophel of darkness, they are not simpletons. You are not hearing me at all. The Ahithophels of darkness, what did I call them? They are not simpletons. They are not dropouts. Satan was determined to make sure he overrun everywhere. So he is setting men up where? In high places. Whenever I'm reading the Bible, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And what? Rulers. Where? Where? In high places. Some of you, you see, in our little understanding, we are always imagining that when they say rulers in the high places, we are always looking to the sky. No. What the devil is looking for the high places where the highest decision on the earth is made. Are you understanding what I'm talking about? If the devil wants to overrun Nigeria, listen, he is not going to be pursuing market women. Does decision lie with market women? What will he be scheming to collect? He wants to govern in the high place. So he would like to possess the kings. He would like to make sure that nobody becomes the paramount ruler of a tribe that is not his own representative. So if I'm going to set light, and the light is going to confront darkness, where must I set my own light also? In high places. That's why we are going to be looking now for disciples that we are going to train to show interest in the traditional rulership of their community. Ah! Are we not backsliding? I am looking now from this meeting, I'm looking for first class royal majesties. First class. That when you come into a state, the chairman of the traditional council of River State, of Bayelsa, of Akwa Ibom, of Anambra, they must be Hushais, friends of the King of Kings, deliberately posted into the council. Council that have been dominated by rebellion. Who would have wanted to come into church and be with David and be singing, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest. Do you see all those ones you are doing? Hosanna in the highest. Here, if you are hearing Jesus very well, he said, thank you. I don't need it here. I already know that here, this is where I am. But do you know that church is almost an exile? Eh? Do you know that church meeting is almost gradually becoming what? An exile. So they don't worry. They just give you land somewhere. Say, let them settle somewhere. Whenever you go to the north, you will understand what I'm saying. Whenever they want to give land to build church, where do they put it? Say, let them be doing what they are doing. Send them on exile. We are here. The king is saying, you should have resigned and be preaching. But I don't need you here. I want to send you as my friend in the traditional council. So I can imagine some of you are princes. But you are not saying, no, I'm a prince of heaven. I'm a prince of heaven. Let me inform you that in heaven we don't need you as a prince. We need you as a brother. Just brothers and sisters. Even if you get to heaven with a crown, you will drop it. Nobody can wear crowns there. We will be brothers. We will be sisters. All of us, we shall be kings and priests. So when all of us are kings, what's the big deal about you? So leave that. And that's not important. So instead of you deliberately destroying your chance of becoming a community leader, paramount ruler of your people, when God has taken away ambition of wanting to be a big man, that is dead. I believe that is dead. Now there is a mission. It's now a mission. A mission to take over the traditional stool of Urobos. Eh? A mission to take over the high place of the Ibibios. A mission to take over the seat of rulership that determines our educational system. So when we talk about, we are not wrestling with with flesh and blood, but we are wrestling with princes in high places wicked rulers of this world. That's what we are talking about. Are you ready for what we are about to deal with today? So now I want to go gradually, because we are going to be very practical and we are going to be praying. And from now till night, that will be our business. God helping us in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Luke 11. That's where I want you to reason. No man, when he has lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place. Who is talking there, please? No man. After he has lighted a candle, decides and say, now I've lighted this candle. Where do I put it? Now to go and put it in a secret place. No man will do that. So I said to you yesterday that it's unreasonable for God. For the past 20 years, he has been pursuing your life. He has been seeking to set you free from every darkness. And he has decided to light this candle. Do you think God is lighting this candle to put it in a secret place? Let's talk. No man will do that. If no man will do that, God will not. So the first thing I reminded you from where we stopped yesterday is that God is not lighting your life to put you in a secret place or under a bushel. If you don't want light, let us know that you don't want light. But once a man has lighted a candle, he is no more thinking of putting it in the secret. Where is he planning to put it now? Now, some of you don't understand the plan of God. Some of you don't understand that God is lighting you particularly. God is giving you, all the attention is giving you, because he wants to take you to a high place. Am I confusing somebody? I know that when it was Mr. Flesh that was ruling our lives, we were ambitious. We want to be big for the sake of being big. Abi? We want money so that we can eat many things. We want fame so that we can be popular. That man died. That is not the issue now. That is not the reason why we live now. God is now causing a light to shine. And when he has lighted a candle, am I communicating with you? It is to take it, not to a secret place. So you know what I've been waiting on God for is that, let the Lord finish lighting these candles. Let's have brothers and sisters here that God has lightened their lives afresh. He has broken the flesh from them. He has delivered them from the ambition of darkness. He has now lighted them. And where is he going to carry them now? He's taking them to a high place. Some of you are sitting here and say, what is brother saying? That's what God is saying. That's why I told you that it's a new direction. It's not strange direction, but it's new. It's new because you are not used to that. I can say some of you, you are students. And in your mind, you are happy with let my people go degree. A degree that when you come out, even for anybody to consider you for masters, no way. Do you think that's why God is lighting this candle? Talk to me. No. Do you not know that I cannot be a foolish man going up and down here and there, spending all my life with all the brothers and sisters that God has called? And we told ourselves we don't want money, we don't want to build church buildings, we don't want this, we want to build lives, we want to produce men, we want to produce disciples. Do you know what God wants to do with them? Is it so that they can be clapping hands here? Were you not clapping hands where you have been before? It can't be that. It is that God will find correct species of men to hand over the earth unto once again. So if some of you were disciples and you went through everything and God did say, yes, this one. You know, the plan is that he wants to take them to where? A high place. Where darkness has sought to occupy unchallenged for years. Where the devil seemed to monopolize for years. God wants to set these lighted candles where? In the high place. Let that settle in your mind. So I don't want you to think that it's wrong. When I begin to trust God that there will be disciples sitting here whom God is planning to bring into cabinets. And I'm not talking about those hungry politicians that want to go there to make money. I'm talking about disciples who could have been a preacher. Are you hearing me? Who could have been on the pulpit? They have an anointing to have been on the pulpit, but posted to where? Into the cabinet. Posted into the political party office. Because whether you like it or not, the prince of darkness have determined that it is democracy that will govern people. Eh? And that it is by voting, by going through the ballot, that we are going to be producing leaders. We can't sit inside here and people are already voting the devil into power. And even when we are finished praying, they say, where is your candidate? No candidate. Are you hearing me? Many times I hear someone say, oh God, we bind the spirit of the bondwoman. We bind the spirit of the bondwoman. He will not rule over Nigeria. He will not rule over. Then the question is, who will rule? Where is your candidate? No candidate. All of them, they just like to hide behind the pulpit. David told Hushai, thank you for your interest, but you will not be useful to me here. Where do I need you? In the court of Absalom. I cannot imagine that kind of heavenly strategy. But that's it. And what was Hushai supposed to do? To defeat. How many of you know? I'm being a bit relaxed with you. How many of you know that the president is not the one who is ruling Nigeria? How many of you know? Who are the people that are actually ruling? The cabinet, the special advisors, and all of that. Most of the papers they come to read, they say presidential address. He didn't write it. Someone else has crafted all of that and put it there. I say, read it, sir. So why some of you think that the greatest place we are looking for is president? No. Take away Ahithophel behind Absalom. Absalom will finish. Are we together? Put more Hushai around Absalom. He will not be able to carry out his rebellion. You are not hearing me at all. I said even if Absalom, the son of rebellion, was on the throne, you don't need to go and fight him. He will hang himself. All you need to do is reposition some Hushais. Where? So when they are going into the house, this man has written his own bill. He wants to present. But we have prepared Hushais who are also brilliant, who also understand the interpretation of the law. We say, you also, do what? Write your own. So as Ahithophel raises his own bill, you don't just oppose. You don't just oppose. What do? Present an alternative. And then you stand up and said, I also have a bill that I want to present, actually, for the furtherance of the progress of Nigeria. First reading. Because it was properly crafted. And then there are people here who are beseeching heaven and say, Father, overthrow what? The cancer of Ahithophel. Some of you are looking for the devil to chase. The devil is not like that. If you know, according to scriptures, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Abi? What are they? They are mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Now, you see, when they say stronghold, I can imagine some of you are thinking of pillars like this. So you are looking for bulldozers. No. The devil doesn't build this kind of thing as strongholds. What does he build as strongholds? Eh? You read your Bible, 2 Corinthians 10. You know I'm in my look. So you read quickly for us, 2 Corinthians 10. Read verse 4 and 5. Yes, sir. They are not carnal. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What do we cast down? Many times I hear say, oh, you demon, oh, you demon, I cast you down. No. Those demons are already cast down. When he said we will cast out demons, the details of it is what we are beginning to understand here. What do we cast down? Imaginations. Yes? Every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, they are the things we are to cast down. Yes? Uh-huh. Every thought.
So the obedience of Christ.
That's what we are dealing with. ideas, arguments, sophistries, imaginations, extrapolations, theories. I wish I knew when the theory of evolution was being crafted. Some of you don't know that many things that have destroyed the world, they didn't start like you are bringing a very big bulldozer. No. What were they? Just theories. Theories. When I go to the modern world now, I can see the effect of evolution theory on the whole community. A whole generation have been trained from primary school to the university that the world was not created by God, that there was nothing God, that it just evolved. So whereas we take it for granted here that you walk into any place and say God created the earth and the heavens, you don't take it for granted there. When you say God created, say, who told you? So that's where the argument begins. Whereas you come to anywhere here, we just say, God loves you. They say, yes. Do you believe in God? You say, I believe in God. You know, that's a very great, a great establishment already. Now you are in a community, society, highly sophisticated society, where even the concept of God has been destroyed. Do you understand what we are saying now? So when I stand and say, God, they say, no. We don't believe that. So instead of going ahead to say, Jesus loves you, I will have to start to restate the concept that it is God that created the heavens and the earth before I could ever talk about a man that has now sinned that needed to be forgiven. That's why the gospel seem to be losing hold, because the devil sponsors somebody with theories in the high place, launched it in the university, made it a curriculum matter. Are you hearing me? That's why, as you see me here now, I'm not just interested that we are just, I need some of you who are reading education. You're an educationist. And I'm going to be encouraging you that you must get to the high place so that we can sponsor you to the research council, educational research council, curriculum development council. Are you understanding that now? So when they are beginning to draw what is the curriculum for education in Nigeria, before they begin to introduce strange syllabus, we have a man there. Are you hearing me? I praise the Lord. I don't know how many of you are teachers here. Let me see teachers here. Teachers, let me see your hand up. There are not many again. All right. How many are religious education teacher here? CRS teachers. Just 1, 2. Many of you don't. Do you know that in Nigeria, that God has not allowed them to scrape off religious education? You know, it's a big miracle. As I'm talking now, there are struggles over it. Let's change it. Let's just turn it to moral instruction. What is a moral instruction? Let's change that and write ethics. The Bible is not the sole authority. Even our people, we also have our own ethics. So if you have given some of the professors, some of them from OAU, Ibadan, if God did not defeat their cancer, we would have been learning Ifa. Instead of Christian religious studies, there will have been traditional religious studies. The battle is still going on. But I praise the Lord that if any of you look at the curriculum of the religious studies that you are teaching from from GS1 to SS3, if you look at it very well, and if you are a serious fellow who really want to make converts, that is the whole Bible. That nobody is supervising you how to teach. And for the first 3 years, it's compulsory. Can you see God putting all students of Nigeria into a 3-year Bible training? Then God said, where are your candidates? No candidate. No teacher. Nobody who is born again to take that kind of environment. But we are busy shouting here, oh Lord, Lord, you may move, you will move. God said, where are your candidates? Satan has posted people in high places. Could God light a candle only to keep it in a secret place? So that's the first thing I want you to get. Have you got that? Have you got that? The first thing that must happen to you in a matter of practicality is to know that God did not light this candle to keep it in a secret place. You are not being trained by God to keep in a secret place. You are not going through the courses you are going through as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that God can come and talk you into a secret place. Struggling. Breaking churches. Because these are people that are energetic, highly anointed, but misposted. And because they are idle, they don't know where to spend the grace of God on their lives. The only place they can see is here. So they say, hey, that pastor is not even preaching well. Let's start our own. The fact that you knew enough as to know that your pastor is not preaching well already shows that you are not supposed to be sitting down. You are supposed to go to where light is needed. But you are causing confusion for the poor man of God. If you are a Bible teacher by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, jump into those schools. You will see endless ministry that nobody is willing, and government will be paying you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look at government paying, giving salary for you to teach Jesus Christ. But now I don't have candidates. Many of the people that are now teaching Christian religious education in our schools, they are drunkards. The brother that God was using to write the curriculum for that particular subject, they developed a complete textbook for teachers. And when I grab those textbooks, you will think that you are going through millet. Regeneration, transformation, the old nature. Everything is in CRS. No candidate. Are you hearing me at all this morning? We want to be practical. I'm looking forward that after this kind of meeting, and we're going to follow it up a little further, God will begin to address the issue of darkness in high places. Hallelujah. So are you with me now? No man. When he has lighted a candle, I am assuming that you are lighted. Who believes that by the grace of God you are now lighted? Let me see your hand up. You are no more in darkness. Abi? Hallelujah for this. Hallelujah for this. Now listen, no man, after he has lighted a candle, does what? Putteth it in a secret place. Neither you want to put him under here? Even if that bush is a beautiful pulpit. Because for some of you, the bush is the pulpit. Some of you, the bush that is not allowing God to achieve what he wanted to achieve is the pulpit that you are creating for yourself. I was talking with a brother a few days ago. When the politics was going on, he came and said, "Sir, I think I should go to politics." And I checked. I said, "Yes. But are you ready? Can we prepare?" So we sat down, we talked. So he wants to vie for the political party leadership. And I checked. I said, "Oh, if you go now, you will lose your chance. It's not your turn. Go and support the candidate. Be nice to him." "Uncle, is that?" I said, "Yes, that's what to do." "And go to the governor of your state. Make sure, don't let people separate you and him." He said, "I've been trying. They are not interested. They don't listen to people." I say, "Yes. Never you find yourself standing against the constituted leadership of your state, you will never make it." By the grace of God, he obeyed. He withdrew all that everybody was pushing him to go and do. I said, "Just sit down. Just be a good party member for now." The whole thing went. When the party was now set, the chairman was made secretary. The chairman looked and said, "This is a man that could have defeated me, but decided to support me. I think I can trust you a bit." So he's in charge of his strategic thinking. Say, "Yes, that's where you should be. You should now begin to sit down and think for the party. Raise issues." The reason why the ruling parties are misbehaving is because drunkards, occultic people, are the think tanks. There's no how you will say they will not rule us. They will rule us. We will not sponsor anybody to go and pay bribe. The devil will give them money to pay bribe. It's a battle between light and darkness. So where do I need to locate my own Ushai? Where ideas are conceived. In high places. But they are good, they are disciples. They will come and sit down and go through Millet, oh creation man, they will cry. We are training them. Not just for this place. Are you hearing me? We are training them so that when they will handle the economy. How many of you know that the economic policy that Nigeria has been running, some people wrote it? Am I correct? Supposing the person who wrote those economic policy got his inspiration from Jesus Christ, will everybody submit to it? Eh? That's it. But we don't have candidates. I've been watching as they will write. I say, who wrote this? You will notice that it's either somebody who is serving the devil, or who goes to one place where they have buried their head in the bush for years. They are the one ruling. No man. Are we together? No man having lighted a candle. I've only come to this point in our work because before now, when candles have not been lit, what should the man do? What should he do? He should sit down and begin to do like this. Do like this. He can even do that in the secret. But when the candle has been lit, where do you take it now? You are taking it to a high place. He will not put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, on a tall place, that they which come in may see the light. Are we together to that point? Number two point. Some of you say, what is number one point? Number one point is that you are not being lighted to be kept where? Under the bushel or in the secret place. What are you meant for? So wherever God is beginning to set you, whether as a sportsman, and there are some of you that before you are a disciple, you are a footballer. Eh? He said, Brother Billy, don't wake up the devil inside of me. No. The devil died. The old man died. You are the one that understood the language of footballers. Who is the right person to send to footballers? Eh? He's a footballer. So when God has lighted the candle, he will not put it in the sacred place. He will take it on the candlestick and put him there. So that's number one concept. Don't forget that you are not meant for the secret. You are not meant for under the bushel. Where are you meant? On the high place. Now, number two, it says, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is single, your whole body also is full of what? It's full of light. But when your eye is evil, Your body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you be not darkness. What are we to say about that in practical terms? The Bible is saying, and I'm really wondering how God is putting it, Ratewase began to come at it this morning. But I sense that we need to press it just a little for you to understand that when we talked about you are the light of the world, the Bible is now bringing it to a very communicable point. It now says, the eye is what? Is the lamp of the body, is the light of your body. If your eye is single, your body will be full of light. But if your eye, when he said be evil, I thought that he wanted to look for the opposite of single. Huh? What should have been the opposite of single? Double. But when the Bible, instead of using the word double, decided to use evil, I take it to mean that double and evil are synonymous. You are not hearing me at all. You see, if you are a man of double eye, you are a man that you are, people thought you are looking straight, but your eye is looking this direction. We thought you are looking at us, but you are looking at something else. Who is that man? That's an evil man. That's a dubious man. A man that you cannot read him from his eyes. A man that when he's looking at you, don't think he's looking at you. He's looking at something else. Now, the Bible says, when your eye is single, that is when you are a man of a single focus, when you are a man of one thing, the light that God has put in you will be concentrated. But when you are a man of double, and when we use the word double, double-minded, double-hearted, double-tongued, double-mouth, double-dealings, anywhere you see double-tongue, double eye, double mouth, double mind. What does it say about that kind of person? Unstable, unreliable, unpredictable, eh? Not trustworthy. Because what he says now, you meet him again, he will say something else. The Bible says, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. But you meet a man, he says yes. And you say, yesterday you said yes, he said, it determines, it depends on how you hear it. Yes can mean yes, and it can mean no. Actually, when I told you yes yesterday, you didn't hear the way I put it. There's a way I used to say my own yes, and it means no. Now, when you meet a man like that, can you trust him? He says, I am with you. And you are going hoping that he is with you. Then you look back, you realize that he's against you. Ah, you say, but uncle, you said you are with me in this matter. I said, is that what I said? If you are very reasonable, you will have known that I didn't say that. Am I so foolish to say that kind of thing cheaply? What did you give me to say that kind of thing? Next time when you come near him, and he says, I love you, what will you do quickly? You will start running because you know that he actually was trying to say, I hate you. When a man's eye is double, he's an evil man. Unpredictable. No focus. No direction. He is like a chameleon. He changes color wherever he goes. So the Bible is saying, if you are going to shine, the first place we need to deal with is your focus. I have been a physics student for years. I know that light can be anything, but it's not effective until you do what? You focus it. Any of you looking here, did you see all this light? What have they done? They focused it. Even the construction of the lamp holder, it was done in order to bring the rays of light to where? A focus. If I were having my blackboard here, I would have drawn to you the power of focus. Can I tell you why? Light only radiates strongly from where? From a focus. If you want light to radiate and fill a particular place, you cannot bring a scattered light. What must you do first? You must first focus it. Usually a focus is like this. So when rays of light are coming and they are coming to a focus, the intensity is greatest at where? At the focal point. And when you want to beam the light, where do you beam the light from? You beam it from that focus. So from that focus, it spreads and it can travel far. Actually, the strength and the how far it could go would depend on the focal length of the object you are using to radiate it. I've confused you now. I just want you to understand that there is nothing you learn either in history or in science, geography, that is from the devil. God created it. The devil is only using it. Are we together here? So when a child of God has gone to collect the knowledge, you are not collecting the knowledge from the devil. That knowledge belongs to who? Unto God. And we reapply it. So now the point is here. When you have a man that is having more than one focus, such that when light is coming, there is no particular point through which it has gathered in order to be spread, it can never be effective. Never effective. So let me ask you, for you to go and shine, the first thing we have to determine before you leave this meeting today is what? What's your focus? What are you focusing on? What do you want to focus your light on? What is the singular focus that God has given you that you want to spend your life doing?